The Ice Queen Visits the Tanner of Cron by Sila J. Taesong. Two lords of Cron sat in the baths, drinking blissy and telling stories. The soft, boiling water felt silky smooth, tickling them with a million tiny bubbles, hissing and steaming on the lava mesh that lay just below their skin. The rhythmic tapping of the tanka drums was hypnotic. Semija, sparsely clad in elegant furs, waited to fill glasses and pass platters of rich finger food. Because they were particularly wealthy lords, and especially because Lord Garn was eligible, a bevy of ladies, each younger and more beautiful than the other, crowded close in Lord Barrett's private pool, hanging on their every word. The ladies all tittered in their cups as Lord Barrett finished telling a story about the adventures of King Ovid and his Kinyara. The legends of that pair of rulers were often too lewd and outrageous to be believed. Lord Garn spoke over the laughter, hoping to draw the gaze of Lady Gisth. He had no intention of marrying any time soon, but Lady Gisth had recently enchanted him. Her long, dark tresses curled around her breasts in the water, and her blue eyes seemed to glow in the torchlight. There was a mysterious sadness in her face, a tightness in her brow, and he thought if he made her smile, he might earn her attentions. "I have a story to top yours, Barrett, an old tale, a true tale, of when the Ice Queen visited Renalia and bested her." Titters dissolved into exclamation and protest. Lady Gist looked up from her cup.
"That old hipple," Lord Barrett roared. "Old she may be, but surely the last time Iskallon had a queen, she was not yet born. They've had naught but kings for centuries."
Renalia was a common flame who ran the Den of Pelage, the market stall where tanned furs and hides of slink, kababar, and hipple could be purchased. She was older than any living flame could remember, a giant of a woman, sharp as obsidian and tough to bargain with. Everyone, commoner and noble alike, knew who Renalia was, and everyone had their own story about her. Unlike other merchants, she would not deal with Semija. Or rather, when you sent your Semija to purchase from her, she got the best of them every time. And even when you went yourself, she still often got the best of you. Garn continued, "But Renalia is older than any living flame. When King Canton and Zedia came from the lava lake and founded Cron, they found Renalia in the same hollow that is now the den, tanning her hides and brushing her furs." The protests turned to attentive smiles. They knew now that this was not a true story at all, but a legend. All the better. Semija leaned in with platters of roasted kababar and bliss pastries. The drums picked up the beat of the story and followed it as Garn continued. Canton the First still ruled when the Ice Queen came to Cron. I speak of the very first Queen of Iskallon, the great Kataya whom they worship like a spirit. This grand queen came to Cron one day, wearing her splendid tall crown and a white dress softer than the finest hides, bedecked with necklaces and belts of silver and sapphire. She was small and thin like all the denizens of the frozen tunnels, but she carried herself with a presence. Lady Nilla hissed under her breath. Garn recalled that her husband had been killed in a raid, leaving her a young widow with no children. Lady Gisth leaned in to give her an empathetic squeeze. Garn would have liked to reassure her, but to do so would have been to give away the ending. The rest of the ladies were still listening attentively, and Garn strove ahead. "In that day, we were at peace with Iskallon. The guards stopped the queen just out of the spiral tunnel and asked her what her business was. She did not reply, but simply kept walking. The guards held her, and Canton was summoned. He demanded to know her purpose, and again she remained silent, just looking at him with big, sad eyes. You may think he would have refused her entry to Cron. Though we were at peace, there was no reason to let her in when she would not even speak. But Canton was curious. He ordered the guards to watch her carefully and be ready to seize her if she caused trouble. Then he stood aside and let her pass into Cron. My lord, my ladies, she walked down those tunnels like she owned them. The arrogance of the Iskalloners is remarkable. She did not cringe from the torches or shudder at the heat, either. She was barely sweating as she passed the steam of the baths. She headed straight to Market Tunnel, like a Semija on an errand. You might say that the normal business transactions ceased when she entered. Everyone stood still and silent, watching this bizarre creature with her entourage of Kron guards walk from stall to stall as if she came here every day. Guards circulated among the crowd, reassuring the people and asking them to go on about their business. No one did, and when she stopped at the Cavern of Fire, the entire market was crowded around her. She carried nothing with her. She plucked a handful of gems off her necklace and traded them for 5 sturdy fire sticks. The gems she handed over would have bought a common flame a small cavern of his own. And she traded them for 5 fire sticks. Flame Barrett shook his muzzy head, and a few ladies tittered at the absurdity. Iskalloners clearly did not know how to bargain. No flame worth his salt would ever trade away so much wealth for so little. But Lady Gist was not yet smiling. Her eyes had dropped to the surface of the water again. As the laughter faded, Garn spoke on. She continued through the market tunnel, picking up some other items, dried meat and fungi, a little hide bag to carry it in. She paid for it all in the same way, in jewels, and always far more than the goods were worth. The entire market watched, entranced. And at last she stood before the den of pelage. Now Renalia had not been watching her with everyone else. When business died down at her stall, she retreated into her cave and continued the tanning and stretching she does when she has no customers, barking out commands to her apprentices and Semija. But when the Ice Queen, flanked by the guards and nearly all the common flames of Cron, stopped before her stall, she came out and stood straight and proud, hands on her hips, towering over the little queen. "Well?" she asked in her no-nonsense way. "Are you here to buy, or to stand and stare?" The queen looked up at her, and she seemed to grow to Renalia's height. She asked, in a voice hard as obsidian, to see the largest, warmest hide Renalia could sell her. Renalia didn't blink, just looked her up and down the way she does when she's assessing you to see how much she thinks you can pay. She disappeared into the den and brought back a huge, fine cloak. It was made from the softest, thickest, slink fur, several hides sewn together, and lined on the inside with baby-soft hippole leather. When the queen tried it on, she disappeared inside of it. She gave a satisfied nod, and they began to bargain. "Well, you've all seen Renalia when she gets started." The Ice Queen offered twice as many gems as she'd given anyone else, and seemed surprised when Renalia shook her head. She stripped off her remaining jewelry and placed it on the counter, and still Renalia wasn't finished. He paused and sipped at his wine. The only sound in the baths was that of condensation dripping from the ceiling. The ladies were all leaning forward. Even Barrett looked curious. Lady Gist's eyes were on him, bright as the lava river. Garn allowed a few more moments to pass in silence, then continued the tale. The Ice Queen pulled her fine white dress up her body and over her head. She was stark naked underneath, bony and pale. Right there in the market, she stood naked before Renalia and said, "This dress is all I have in the world. Take it, but I will have this cloak." What do you suppose Renalia did then? She didn't bat an eyelid at the fact that the Queen of Iskalon stood naked before her and all of Kron. Instead, she looked her over in that considering way she has and said, "You've still got that crown there. I'll take it, too." The bath erupted into raucous laughter. The ladies held their sides in pain. They laughed so hard. Even Barrett was roaring. Everyone could imagine it. Renalia bargaining away as she always did, but bargaining for the very crown of Iskalon. Bargaining with the Queen of Arrogance, naked and humiliated before all of Kron. It was too sweet. Even the Samija were smiling, and no one reprimanded them for it. Best of all, Lady Gis was smiling cheek to cheek, her whole face glowing. Garn felt a heat that had nothing to do with the boiling water flush over his skin. Then, my ladies, my lord, the Ice Queen grew angry. "This crown is not mine to sell," she insisted. "The dress is worth 10 times your entire inventory. You will take it, and I will have that cloak." Renalia kept trying, kept insisting on the crown, but in the end she gave way. For you see, the dress was made of some material unknown to Iskalon or Kron. There was not another like it in all of Shalane. Renalia would have been a fool not to take it when she had the chance. And that, ladies and lord, is the tale of how the Queen of Iskalon got the best of Renalia in her own den. "But what of the Queen?" Lady Gist asked, drifting closer. "Why did she want all that stuff? What would an icer need, with fire sticks and a warm cloak?"
"An excellent question, my lady." Garn beckoned her close, encircling her with one arm, balancing his glass in his other hand. "No one knows the truth of that. It is said that Canton took her aside after she left the market and questioned her thoroughly, but there is no record of their conversation. There are many rumors and suppositions. The guards followed her up the spiral tunnel a ways, but they lost her in the many offshoot tunnels. Kron historians have contacted Iskalon in times of peace to compare documents, and on this point they are certain. Kataya did not return to Iskalon. Some say she found her way down to the Lava River and threw herself in, repenting her sins as an icer and embracing the fire spirit. Others say she entombed herself in one of their burial shafts. Yet others say she still wanders the tunnels between here and Iskalon. If you go too far away from Kron, she will find you and freeze you to death."
"Faugh!" Lord Barrett exclaimed. "A tale told to frighten children, that. I have a story that will top even one of Renalia. Shall I tell it?"
"Who will stop you?" Lord Garn yawned, waving for the Samija to fill his cup with Blissey. "My tale is a little warmer than yours, Garn. It is of King Hamdred, who fell in love with a Hippol. One day he was touring the stock tunnels."
Lady Gist snuggled closer, and Garn sipped his blissey, feeling the smooth skin of her hip under the fingers of his free hand. Neither of them heard Barrett's tale. The end.